Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
The same Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, is the same Apostle Paul who said, what a miserable wretch that I am, who is able to save me from this body of death. It's the same Apostle Paul who said, in Christ Jesus I find my all in all. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony and song. Thank you, Garrett. We need to be reminded again and again, dear friends, that without the Lord, we have nothing. Without the Lord, we really can't do anything. Without the Lord, we are nothing. Interludes. Intermissions. Sometimes we use them to refresh ourselves. Sometimes we use them to reflect on what has gone on before. Sometimes we use them to prepare for what's going to be taking place later on. In Revelation chapter 10 and chapter 11, we have an interlude. We've been talking about, we've been studying, we've been seeing these judgments of God as they're poured out upon the earth. And as you have been, and I hope you have been noting, I hope that you've been reading, I hope you've been studying with me with your thinking cap on. If you have, you will notice that there is a pattern to these judgments that the Lord has been revealing during the days of the tribulation. And the pattern that you see more often as you go through these judgments is that they're kind of grouped into two different groups. Each one of the series has two different groups to them. In the seal judgments, there was a group of four, and then there was a group of three. In the trumpet judgments, we see that there's a group of four, and then a group of three. And in the bowl judgments, which we haven't gotten to yet, you'll notice also that there's a group of four, and that there's a group of three. There's a pattern that we see over and over and over again. I hope you've also noticed that in every series between judgment number 6 and judgment number 7, there's an intermission, there's an interlude. In the seal judgments, the interlude is very brief. In the bowl judgments, which we haven't gotten to yet, again, between the 6th judgment and the 7th judgment, there's an interlude, and it's very brief. Here in the trumpet series of judgments, between the 6th and 7th judgments, there is also an interlude, and it's fairly extensive. There are a number of things that will take place during this interlude. But all of these interludes have been given in these series of judgments for a reason, for a purpose. God does not do anything without a reason or a purpose behind it. And He has included in these series of judgments intermissions, interludes, for a reason, for a purpose. I believe that they serve as a reminder to us. It is a break from what's been going on. It is a preparation for what will continue on. But it's a pause. It's a moment whereby we're able to stop what involving ourselves in what's going on and pull back for just a moment, and I think to recognize three different things. Number one, that God is sovereign over all things. Number two, that He remembers His people in the midst of their trials and their sufferings. And number three, these interludes serve to remind us that ultimate victory belongs to Jesus Christ, and we share in that victory with Him. Ultimate victory is ours, but only in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles. Let's go back to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And as you look at Psalm 2, you'll notice that it's kind of like today's newspaper. It parallels a lot of what many of us are experiencing even now. I shared with our men this past weekend as we were up at Jeunesse for the men's retreat. Humanity hasn't changed much over the last 10,000 years that we've been on this planet. We're pretty much the same today as we've always been: sinful, fallen in our nature, rebellious toward God, estranged from God, trying to take matters in our own hands, trying to take the bull by the horns and with our own intelligence, with our own abilities, with our own power, try to wrestle out some kind of meager living, try to make some kind of sense in the existence that we have. We've not changed much over the centuries that we've been here. David writes this psalm a long, long time ago, but it's pretty contemporary. Follow along with me as we read. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Vain meaning empty. Why do the nations war and why do the people plan for things that just don't have anything to them at all? No substance, no meaning, no purpose. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Kind of like today, isn't it? Kind of like what we're going through in this country. Kind of like what a lot of nations are going through. A lot of societies are going through. We marshal our efforts, we get our brain trusts together, our brain pool together, we get our military together, we get our economic whizzes together to try to figure out a kind of society that we would all like to live in. We say, "Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us in the past. Thank you for establishing this nation. We're in control now. We can take care of it. Thank you. Go off and do something else. Don't bother us. Leave us alone. We don't need you anymore." So we try to remove God from our thinking. We try to remove His name from our public records. We try to do all that we can to get Him out of our mind, because we want to be free to do what we want to do, free from constraints, free from God, free from the things that we in our own mind say pull us down, hold us back. That's what we want. That's what we do in life. That's what we do in our families. That's what we do in our neighborhoods. That's what we do in our country. And then we look around us and we wonder why things are falling apart. We wonder why things are turned upside down. We wonder why we find ourselves in such distress. Why we find ourselves worse off than when we acknowledged the Lord. And all the while, God is in heaven. The psalmist says, "He who sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will put them in derision." Look, Lord, you know, I'm in control. Look, Lord, I'm going to make something out of my life. I'm going to be great. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to do all these things. Lord God, I don't need you. And the Lord just kind of sits back and says, "Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how far you get in your own strength. We'll see how far you get in your own intelligence, in your own knowledge. We'll see how far you get." Then He will speak to them in His wrath, and in distress, them in His deep displeasure. "Yet I have set my King on my holy hill, Zion." We do all that we can do without God. And God reminds us in everything that He does that He is still God. And He is still Lord. And He is still sovereign over all that He has created. Since sin entered the human experience, Satan has been working overtime to try to remove the influence and the glory and the power and the majesty of God from the earth. And while it may be true and while it may be noted in the minds of men, and certainly Jesus acknowledged the fact that Satan is Lord of the earth, it is still true, according to the psalmist, chapter 24, verse 1 and 2, that the earth is the Lord, amen, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Satan may be Lord of the earth, but God still owns it, dear friends. Amen. Satan is nothing more than a squatter. Satan is nothing more than someone who has broken across the boundaries and who has claimed a little piece of this for himself. But in reality, the earth belongs to the Lord, and everything that the earth contains belongs to God. Don't ever forget that. The psalmist reminds us that it's God who has founded the earth upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Satan hasn't done anything but taken what God has already done and corrupted it. To take what God has already established and to steal it. But even though Satan influences the nations, influences human societies, influences people to do the things that they do, God will have his day, dear friends. And that evil squatter, someday, and I believe someday very, very soon, that evil squatter is going to be kicked off the land. And what belongs rightfully to God, he's going to take it back. And he's going to rule over it in power and in majesty, and all of the earth then will be filled with the glory of the Lord God. Look at Psalm 22, verses 25 to 28. Psalm 22, verses 25 to 28. The psalmist sings, "My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's." Amen. The kingdom belongs to God. This is his kingdom. This is his creation. This belongs to him. He will rule over the nations. That day is coming, dear friends. That day is soon to dawn upon us, when he will once again rule over all of the nations. Now it seems like things are spinning out of control. It seems like things in America and in many countries of the world are upside down, inside out, back to front. It seems like things nowadays, we're in this huge bus and we're going down the road and we're headed for a cliff and there's nothing to stop us from going over the cliff. But God gives us pause. God gives us intermission. God gives us an interlude to remind us that no matter what's going on around us, God is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is still in control. And everything that we see going on around us, God is going to use it and God is going to work it to accomplish his will and his purpose. His plan for this country and for these people will be worked out according to the plan that he's established. And because the Lord is in control, the second thing is also true. And that is that the Lord remembers his people in the midst of their trials. I know that there are people here today hurting, suffering. I know that there are people here today wondering what's going to happen. The economy is all messed up. We've got leaders of the country fighting each other and wrangling with each other. Who's going to take the reins? Who's going to sit in the White House? Who's going to take control of this, that, and the other? We've got individuals who are trying to pass bills and people who are trying to do initiatives and all kinds of things to take the kind of society that we have liked and that we've enjoyed and turn it all, mess it all up, change everything. And we don't know what to make of it. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what steps we need to take. And it affects us. Don't ever kid yourself, dear friends. We may be children of the Lord God, but the things that are going on, the evil things that are going on in our society affect us. They concern us. They cause us to be worried. They cause us to fear and to doubt. Some of you are going through very difficult times in your life. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are going through health issues. Some of you are facing life alone again. Some of you are having to take care of families by yourselves. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have seen a great reduction in your income. Your resources are being depleted. Some of you are losing homes. Some of you are losing businesses. All of these things are beginning to unravel, and we're wondering and we're questioning and we're trying to struggle in our own heart to try to make any sense of it. But one of the things that we need to remember, one of the things that we've got to come back to, that is the fact that if we're following the Lord God, He's going to take care of His children. He's going to take care of His people. These interludes, these intermissions, God will allow a pause, a break in the action, if you will, to remind us that we belong to Him and that He's going to provide for us. That doesn't mean that we're going to be immune from hardship and heartache. It doesn't mean that He's going to somehow wrap us up in a cocoon and isolate us away from all of the bad things and the evil things and the terrible things that's going on in our world. We will be affected by those things, but in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the pain and the sorrow, God will provide. God will provide. God will take care of His own. Satan seeks to destroy us, but the Lord seeks to deliver us, amen? The devil moves to harm and to hurt us, but the Lord Jesus Christ hears our cry, hears our plead, hears our distress, and He moves to heal us. Lucifer tempts us and terrorizes us, but Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, takes us by the hand and leads us through the times of trouble, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Mark this passage of Scripture. Highlight it, underline it, circle it, memorize it. It's a very important passage of Scripture. Listen to what Paul tells the Corinthian church that was in grave danger of falling apart, a church that was a troubled church, a church that was tearing itself apart. He tells these Corinthian believers, no temptation, no trial, nothing that you're suffering now, nothing that you're going through now has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the trial, with the temptation, will also make a means of escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? What is the Lord saying? What's the gist? What's the idea? What's the bottom line? Paul is telling us, listen, dear friends, whatever it is you're going through, God's right there with you. And God is not going to allow anything to come into your... Listen, God is not going to allow anything to come into your life that you can't handle. Huh? I know we may think that we can't handle it, and we may feel that we can't handle it, and maybe even we believe in our heart that we can't handle it, but God would not permit it to come into your life if He didn't think you could handle it. But if it is more than you can bear, listen to what Paul is saying, if it's more than you can handle, what? God is going to open a door and let you escape. God is going to give you a means to get out from under it. God is not going to allow His children to face something that will overwhelm them. God is not going to allow His children to face something that they cannot bear up under. Now, that doesn't mean that there is a promise of life on Silk Stocking Lane. There's a life on Easy Street for each and every individual who becomes a Christian. Listen, dear friends, if you believe that becoming a Christian, after you become saved, after you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, life is going to be a bed of roses, I caution you about the thorns. Nowhere in Scripture do I ever find anyone ever telling me that being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a fearer of God, being one who has struck a partnership, a relationship with the Lord God, nowhere in Scripture do I ever find that their life becomes easy. Their life becomes free of burdens, free of trials. If anything, it comes the exact opposite. Jesus told His disciples a very, very encouraging word. Happy are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Jesus encouraged His disciples, the world hates me and they're going to hate anybody who follows me. That's the kind of life that we have, dear friends, in Christ Jesus. Is it an unbearable life? Absolutely not. Paul says, we'll bear up under the suffering. We'll bear up under the trials. God will see to it. But if anything comes into my life that I cannot bear, God will provide a means of escape for me. That's a wonderful promise to have. But you know what? It's not just a word. We also have in Scripture example after example after example how God has put this very principle into place. It was the Lord who shut the mouths of the lions when King Darius had Daniel thrown into their den. Amen? Daniel chapter 6. It was the Lord who walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace when King Nebuchadnezzar had them bound and thrown in because they wouldn't bow down and worship his image in Daniel chapter 3. It was the Lord who heard the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt in hard bondage and in slavery and sent Moses down and won their freedom. Exodus chapter 5. It was the Lord who released Peter from prison so that he might continue to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 2. It was the Lord who sent an earthquake and shook the prison so that Paul and Silas could be freed. And in their freedom, they turned right around and witnessed to the jailer who held them captive and led him to the Lord. Amen. In the heat of the moment, dear friends, in the midst of the trials and in the sufferings and the hardships and the temptations that we have, the Lord will provide an interlude. He will provide an intermission. He will give us a pause so that we can stop for a moment and we can realize that even though the powers at be may persecute us and press against us, it is the Lord God who is sovereign over all things, and God will always take care of His people in the midst of their trials. He will save us from the lions and from the fiery furnaces and from the prisons of life. Amen? Well, at least one or two of you believe it. Psalm chapter 46. Let's look at that. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, verses 6 through 11. Psalm 46. Pay close attention to the psalmist as he sings this song. I want you to see what's going on in your mind's eye as we read through these verses of Scripture. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to paint a picture in your mind. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, verses 6 through 11. God is our refuge and our strength. Amen? Have you found that to be true in your life? Have you found God to be a sanctuary? A cave of protection, if you will? Have you found in the Lord a refuge? A place where you can go to find relief, to find release, to find renewal? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Get the picture here. The world is coming apart. The mountains are moving, great earthquakes. They're being carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Chaos, trouble, everything being turned upside down. He goes on in verses 6 through 11. The nations rage, the kingdoms are moved. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth? He makes the wars to cease and the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. You get the picture? Wars are raging. Countries are being torn apart. The mountains are being shaken into the sea. The seas are overflowing their boundaries. There's chaos. There's trouble. There's concern everywhere. There's a burden. But listen to the psalmist. Be still in the midst of all of the trouble, in the midst of all of the trial, in the midst of all of the chaos. Be still and know that I am God. Some of you are worried. Where's the next paycheck going to come from? How am I going to put food on the table for my kids? Some of you are concerned. How am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay the rent to keep a roof over our heads? Some of you are concerned. Where's the money going to come from that I can put gas in my car so that I can go to work and provide for the needs of my family? Some of you are concerned. Where am I going to find a friend? I'm so alone. I've lost my mate. I've lost my friend. And I feel so alone. Where am I going to find someone who will include me in their circle of friendship? Some of you are heavy burdened. Some of you have found out that you're not as healthy as you thought that you were. Some of you can't go to the doctor because you don't have the money to pay for the doctor's visit. You don't have the money to pay for the prescription drugs because it's way out of sight. Some of you can't provide for insurance for your family so that they can go to the doctor and have their physical needs met. Some of you are concerned about what tomorrow is going to hold for you. Some of you are concerned about what today is going to hold for you. And I hear the word of the psalmist in the midst of the chaos of your life, dear friends, when the demons come crashing down in on you, when the world starts to unravel out from under you, be still and know that I am God. That's what the Lord wants you to know today, dear friends. That's why God gives us pause. That's why He provides for us intermissions in life, so that we can take advantage of that moment and be still before the Lord God and realize that even though things are falling apart, even though things are upside down, God is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's all going to work out according to His plan. I just need to stick with Him. I need to realize and be assured that no matter what it is I'm facing in life, and no matter what it is I'm not able to do to provide for myself, God will provide for me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our sanctuary, our refuge, our cave of protection. Thirdly, and finally, these interludes come to remind us that no matter what the test, no matter what the trials, no matter how dark the days may be, no matter how deep the trouble, no matter what it is that we're facing, dear friends, ultimate victory belongs to the Lord and those who follow Him. Amen? Ultimate victory belongs to the Lord and those who follow Him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 33 to 37. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 37. I had a teenager come to me not 1,000 years ago or 1,000,000 miles away, a young teenage girl, 16 years old. And she came to the office and she knocked on the door, and I could tell that she was very troubled. And so I had her sit down and I asked her, what's going on in your life? Why are you here? And she said, Pastor, she said, I think I'm pregnant. And I said, oh? And how is that so? And of course she was embarrassed to talk about it. I was glad that she came to me. I'm glad that she talked with me. She said, I think I'm pregnant and I don't know what to do. And I said, have you told your parents? No. Have you told anybody else? No. And I asked her, you know, again, how do you think that is? And she told me certain things that were going on in her physical body, so on and so forth. And I said, what you need to do is, before you make any decisions at all, you need to stop for a moment. And you need to turn to the Lord and you need to ask the Lord, what is it that I need to do? What should I do? And she started telling me things like, well, you know, maybe I could go down and see a doctor and have this thing taken care of. And she said, well, maybe I ought to tell my boyfriend, you know, that because he got me pregnant, maybe we need to get married. And she said, well, maybe I need to do this. I said, what you need to do is you just need to stop for a minute. You need to just pause for a moment. And you need to turn to the Lord and you need to ask Him, what do I need? We prayed together. And she said, all right, Pastor, what do I need to do? And I said, you need to talk to God about that. I can tell you what I think you should do, but that may not be correct. You need to talk to the Lord. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from her, and she said, can I talk with you? And I said, yes. And she said, I've made a decision. And I said, okay. And she came down to the office, and we sat and we talked. She said, I took your advice. She said, I prayed like I've never prayed before. And I said, what did the Lord tell you? And she said, the Lord told me to go see the doctor. And I said, okay. And what did the doctor tell you? And she said, the doctor told me I was not pregnant. The doctor said I was just late, but I was not pregnant. All of those things that she had imagined, all of those things that were going on in her heart and her mind, those things that would have, could have ruined her for the rest of her life, were laid to rest at that moment because she stopped. God gave her pause. God gave her an intermission, an interlude. And she asked the Lord what she should do. And the Lord gave her an answer. It doesn't always work out that way. I wish it worked out that way for every individual that I counsel, but it doesn't always work out that way. But dear friends, it doesn't matter if the bad decisions that we've made with our lives come back to haunt us. It doesn't matter if we've got skeletons in the closet. It doesn't matter if it does work out the way it worked out for this young girl. It doesn't matter. All we want to remind you of this morning is to stop in the heat of the moment, to stop in the midst of the conflict, to stop when it seems like you have no place to turn, no one to go to, and there's no good decision that you can make. Just stop. Still before the Lord God and listen to what He has to tell you. The third thing, these interludes come to us to remind us that no matter what the tests may be, no matter what the trials that we face, no matter how dark the days, no matter how deep the trouble, the ultimate victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, look at it. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Are you going through tribulation even as we speak, dear friend? Shall the tribulation that you're going through, maybe there's problems in the marriage, maybe there's problems in the home between parent and child, maybe there's sibling rivalries, maybe there's problems at work, maybe you're facing an uncertain future, there's tribulation. Can that separate you from the love of God? Shall distress? Maybe you are losing your shirt and socks in the stock market by the way things are going, by the devaluation of the dollar, because of gas prices being as they are, because the commodities that we have to have in order to get by are so beyond our means and we're in great distress. Can that separate you from the love of God? Persecution. Maybe you're trying to live the Christian witness before others. Maybe you're trying to live the Christian faith in your own home and your husband hates you for it. Your children despise you for it. Your parents will not listen to you. Maybe you try to be a good Christian witness at school, but your teachers are reprimanding you. Or maybe at work and your boss threatens you. You're facing distress because of persecution. Is that able to separate you from the love of God? Will famine, will nakedness, will peril, will even death separate you from the love of God? Where is your hope, dear friend? In all of these things, Paul says, as it is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, what? We are more than conquerors. Not just victors, but more than victors. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul had been in prison for the faith. The Apostle John knew what he was talking about, and we'll get to 1 John chapter 5 in a second. He knew what it was like. He was the only remaining apostle. He was the only one to live to a ripe old age. All of his compatriots, all of his friends, all of his constituents died as a result of their faith in the Lord. Only he was left alive. He knew what he was talking about when he was talking about persecution and peril and being disowned and rejected and oppressed. Paul went to one town and he preached the gospel. He went to another town and preached the gospel. And these two towns got together and they threw Paul outside the city walls and they stoned him to death out the side of the city walls. But God revived him. What did Paul do? Did he take his marbles and go home? Did he say, "This ain't worth it, God? I didn't think that Christianity would be like this. I didn't think being a follower of you would be like this. And so I'm going to quit. I'm going to go home." No. Paul got up and he walked to the next town and started preaching the gospel there. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Philippians 4:10. Philippians 4:10 through 13. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak with regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased." I know what it's like to be put down. I know what it's like to have my legs knocked out from under me. I know what it's like for somebody to pull the carpet out from under me. I know what it's like for the bottom to fall out of my life. I have learned how to be abased. And I know how to be abound. I know how to abound. I know what it's like to be accepted by everyone. I know what it's like to be welcomed in. I know what it's like to be appreciated and loved and cared for. I know what it's like to experience both sides of the spectrum. "Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he makes a marvelous statement. "I can do what? I can do what? I can do all things in my own power, according to my own intellect, with all of the experiences that I've had, with all of the advantages and opportunities that are presented to me. I can do all things what? Through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me." And there's the answer, dear friend, and there is the key. He will provide, and He will give the victory. But not apart from Himself. Revelation chapter 10, Revelation chapter 11, we read of a merciful God who gives a gracious interlude to a sin-ravaged and a war-torn world. But dear friends, understand that He sends those same interludes today. He gives us those same moments of pause today. They come as a reminder to us that God is sovereign. That God is Lord, not man, and not man's military might, not his intellectual prowess, not his wealth, his ability, or his determination. God rules over all that He has created. We need to turn to Him. We need to trust Him. We need to follow after Him. These same interludes come to remind us that in the midst of our trials and our tribulations, He's right there with us. He's not abandoned us. He said, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." He said, "There's nothing that can ever separate us from each other, from the love that I have for you." He's right there with us. We just need to turn to Him. We just need to call upon Him. He is compassionate to save those who in faith trust in Him, who honor Him, who serve Him. These pauses remind us that we have victory. That we are not victims, dear friends. We're not victims to Satan. We're not victims to sin. We're not victims to circumstances. We're not victims to situations. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. One final passage of Scripture and I close. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Way over to near the end of the Bible. The book of the Revelation, you go back a couple of pages and you come to 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 5. Look at verses 4 and 5. John is writing to his beloved church at Ephesus. And he encourages them by saying, "For whatever is born of God those who are followers of Christ, those who've been born again, those who are saved, those who've confessed their sinfulness before the Lord and have received His grace and mercy and forgiveness into their lives. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Those who are born again, those who are followers of Jesus, overcome the world. The world doesn't overwhelm them. The world doesn't overcome them. They overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Read it. What is it? What is it? What is it in us that overcomes the world? Our faith. Our faith in the Lord. Our trust in the Savior. Our fellowship and our fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Ah, Satan is having his way. God is going to have his day. Things look dark and things look bleak, and maybe they are in your life, dear friend, but may I remind you, behind the dark clouds, the sun is still shining. The sun is on the throne. You may feel like that you're in the lion's den and they're nipping at your heels, but dear friends, God can shut the mouths of those lions. You may be feeling the heat of persecution, the heat of trials, the heat of despair, but listen, dear friends, it's the Lord who walks with you in the midst of those fires. David cried out in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me, protect me. When do these pauses come? Where is the interlude? Maybe you're in the midst of one now. Take advantage of it, dear friend. Take time to reflect upon the Lord God in your life. Take time to be reminded that He provides for you, even in ways that you don't understand, in ways that you don't even acknowledge. And be reminded, dear friend, that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now, and maybe you need a time of rest. Maybe you need a respite. Maybe you need one of those interludes. Then cry out to the Lord God, who is able to bring it to you, who's able to bring it to pass in your life. But He brings these to us so that we might be able to draw away from the heat of battle and the tests and the torments and the trials of life and just spend some time with Him. We all need it. We all long for it. Without it, we'll succumb to all of the pressures and all of the powers that be that destroy us. Father in heaven, thank you for these times when we can be refreshed, these times when we can find refuge in you, these times of oasis where we can pause and relax under the shade of your grace and your mercy and drink from the wells of spiritual renewal. Father, there are some people walking through the deserts now, and they need that oasis now. And I ask, Lord God, that you'll give them pause, give them interlude, give them an intermission, a time to draw aside and to reflect and to be renewed and to be refreshed in you. There are those today, Lord God, who are experiencing those interludes even now. Father, may they take advantage of it and not waste it. May they take time to call upon you and to meditate upon you and all that you've provided for them. May they reaffirm once again that you are King and Lord in their lives. And may they be reminded, Lord God, that you've not abandoned us, you've not left us alone, but Lord God, you've given us victory in Jesus Christ your Son. May we capitalize on that. There may be one here today who longs for these things in his or her life. They don't have them, but they long for them. I pray, Lord God, you will draw them to Jesus, that you will reveal to them, Lord God, that their greatest need today is to find in Jesus the one who can give them pause, the one who can give them victory, the one who can provide, protect, and give peace. And that all they need to do is to call upon Him even now. He's waiting. He's ready to hear them. He's ready to receive them. For brothers and sisters, Lord God, who may have claimed Jesus Christ as Lord at some time in the past, but they're not walking in fellowship with You, and their lives are in distress, their lives are in turmoil. Father, I pray that even now they'll realize that this moment is a time of pause. This moment is an interlude. This is an intermission that You've given to us, Lord God. This time of worship is a time for us to stop and be still and to know that You are God and You have great things for us. If we'll just turn back to You, come back home, and get back into fellowship following You as we should. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask us to stand. Stand with me, if you will, please. David and the worship team is going to lead in this song. And every one of us is going to make a decision here at this moment. We're going to decide if we're going to stop and be still. We're going to decide if we're going to meditate, we're going to think upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're going to decide, even now, if we're going to let Him come into our lives and protect and provide. We're going to stop. We're going to decide if we're going to allow the Lord Jesus to bring victory into our lives. This is not a time just for the unsaved, the non-believer, to come and embrace Jesus. This is also a time for the saved to acknowledge who is Lord in your life. It's a time for the saved to acknowledge who's making provision for you in life. It is time for the saved to acknowledge who's bringing the victory, or even if you have victory in your life. So as David leads us, if your heart's desire is to turn to Jesus and be saved, if your heart's desire is to have the victory over the world that Jesus promises, then I invite you to come to Jesus. I invite you to trust in Him as Lord and Savior of your life. I invite you to turn your life over to Him who is able to save you from all sin and give you eternal hope, eternal life in Him. And Christian friend, it's time for you to come to the altar. It's a time for you to come and to pause and to remember who Jesus is in your life. David, lead us as we sing.
I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.